Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Every now and again, I'm looking at my eye. It's getting better, isn't it, Bud? I think my left eye is getting better. I'd like to think it is. Anyway, woke up Sunday morning, the thing had just not bloodshot. I'm talking about like a major vessel burst of some kind, like just a bloody eye. But it's getting a little bit better. Welcome back here to the show. Our number is 877-876-7445. We're online at philhendryshow.com. If you have a backstage pass, it affords you the opportunity to watch each and every night live streaming video of our show. We are here at the El Pacifico, and that's where we will remain. And we originate our video casts here from the furthest western edge of this grand place called America to you. Also, we have our podcasts available the next day for you, downloaded to your iPod or wherever you want that thing downloaded to. It's none of my business. And we also have thousands and thousands, and I mean thousands of hours of full radio shows going back over a decade. So all of the great Phil Hendry shows that you've heard so much about, you can access there at philhendryshow.com. And so much more, too. A video archive that not only contains the video casts that we have right now. We've got a five-day archive. We've got the full year of video casts that we did locally here in Los Angeles on Saturday night. We did a whole a year of Saturday night shows that have been preserved in our archive as well. So lots of stuff, and for the monthly subscription, I mean, dude, it's like a drop in the bucket for what you get. It is a multimedia feast. The Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com. Pay us a visit. All right, as you know, our great Navy SEALs, part of our great U.S. military, part of our great U.S. Navy, a global force for good. I like that slug that they're using. That's a great advertising slug. Went in with great courage, with great skill, with a commitment to the mission, with a love and a loyalty of president and country. Well, of country, under the direction of their commander in chief, went into a compound in Islamabad, or wherever the hell it was. I forget now. It wasn't Islamabad. What was the name of the town that they went into when he got greased? Well, I believe it was. Nonetheless, it was in Abbottabad, that's it. Islamabad is the capital of Pakistan. Abbottabad is a place that, as you know, as we all know now, was very popular with the Pakistan military, a place where they like to go and relax. And obviously, they weren't too bright when they were there because they had the number one terrorist in the world living right under their really dumb noses there. So anyway, it was on May the 2nd of 2011... that the United States Navy SEAL Team 6 went in and effectively ended the executive career of Osama bin Laden at the head of Al-Qaeda, Inc. Killed his ass, dragged his ass back with them to a aircraft carrier somewhere in the Arabian Sea or Indian Ocean. DNA checks were done, dental records were checked. Eyeball examinations were done. All kinds of IDs were run. They did a very perfunctory but respectful Muslim ceremony over the dead body. And then they dropped his ass in the ocean, never to be seen or heard from again. And right about now, there's probably a grouper or a snapper, pretty fat, and I'd say probably another couple inches longer than he was last year, feasting on that guy. What has been the fallout? Well, Al-Qaeda has continued to try to be aggressive. Of course, the spiritual founder, the leader, the focal point of their efforts, philosophical and otherwise, is gone. And there is, I'm sure, either a vacuum at the top or a power struggle going on. The CIA and the world's intelligence agencies could probably let us know a lot better than we know. But nonetheless, it had a profound and traumatic effect on these jackasses called Al-Qaeda. They have still tried to be aggressive. They've still tried to mount various operations. But there's no question that since September the 11th, both Presidents Bush and Obama have been aggressive in pushing America's military might and weight against the terrorists, which is, as we've been told, the new war. It is the war on terror. It is the new World War III. Joining us now from Santa Monica, California, is a journalist, a writer. She has covered the war in Iraq, and she also does a weekly column called A Little Bird Told Me for Dicklin Syndicate, Margaret Gray, to give us, a little bit of perspective. Margaret, how are you?
I'm doing good, Phil. Thanks for having me on your program.
Tell me what you feel, and I know as a liberal, you're a supporter of President Obama's, but it was also something that gave you pause.
Well, it didn't give me pause that Osama bin Laden had been taken out by SEAL Team 6. I think we all need to remember, though, Phil, what happened on May the 2nd of 2011. It was not just the news delivered to us by President Obama that the United States Navy, in the person of the U.S. Navy SEAL team, had killed Osama bin Laden. But gradually, as the evening wore on, we saw a demonstration that I think was a little bit unfortunate. I don't want to take away from the satisfaction, the relief that we obviously would feel knowing that a criminal like Osama bin Laden would not be free to conduct his criminal activities any longer. But there are some of us who had wished, had hoped, we weren't holding out hope, but we sort of hoped that he would have been captured and brought back to a civil trial, a civilian trial, here in the United States. And then I think that we also held out hope, although I never in my wildest dreams, I don't think I ever thought that I would see what I saw last week, that the American people would conduct themselves with a little bit more dignity than they did. And I'd like to say that at least I'm proud of the fact that when I heard the news, I felt good, but I stayed where I was. I was sitting on my sofa in my living room. I was watching the television. I looked at the displays that were going on around the country of people dancing and cheering. At one point, I think Fox News, which I think is not surprising given who they are, had their camera on a young man who was obviously drunk, waving an American flag, dancing like he had some sort of a nervous disorder.
Let me interrupt you here.
I want to finish. And then another man joined him, and they were dancing almost like it was really very, I think, primitive. It looked tribal. It was not my country.
It looked primitive and tribal, huh? All right.
And that doesn't mean anything racist, Phil. I'm just saying the two of the, what did you call it, Frank? Frank had a very good, what did you call it?
Well, they were doing it. It looked to me like she was dancing the boogaloo, the ship, the Hoochie Mama.
Yeah, Frank said it was like the boogaloo. And
but the boogaloo.
I don't know what he means. What do you mean by that?
And I don't think it had a lot of dignity. It was the boogaloo. It's just a boogaloo. And a Hoochie Mama,
I know what Hoochie Mama is.
Yeah.
Hoochie Mama was something that Frank referred to me as once because I wore too much hairspray. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, if you're like these Hoochie Mamas over there at the Siete Mare. And I said, well, what is the Siete Mare? He said, the Seven Seas. It's a restaurant in East Los Angeles. And you'll see a lot of the Hoochie Mamas going in there on a Friday night. Now, Phil.
I don't. That whole thing went right over my head, man. I don't know what you're talking about. Frank, how you doing?
I'm better than Custer, young man. Now, the Hoochie Mama is when you see a group of them going in, and you'll see a lot of them wearing the Hoochie.
Give me the phone, Frank. So, you know what he means?
No, I don't know what he means.
The Hoochie Mama.
Hoochie Mama's when they're using a can of hairspray for one half of the head.
Now do you know?
Well, then why don't you? What do you mean, Hoochie Mama?
And so I'll just overlook that.
What are you overlooking? I don't know what you're talking about, Hoochie Mama.
It was what Frank said they were dancing to last week. All right? Are you hearing me, Phil?
Margaret, I can hear you fine, okay? When you said last week...
I mean last year.
When you said Hoochie Mama Boogaloo, I don't know what you meant. Last year...
I mean the way those young men were dancing in Times Square last year. God!
look, Ms. Gray, last year I saw a lot of things on TV. I do remember seeing people dancing in Times Square. I do remember seeing young people, 20s, 30s, having themselves a taste. You know, what the hell? And there was a lot of American flag waving. I don't recall any Boogaloo or Hoochie Mama thing.
He's doing this on purpose.
You understand what we're saying, but you just don't want to acknowledge it.
But if the two of you were saying they were dancing in an undignified way...
That is what I mean, yes.
I didn't see that.
You didn't see the one young man doing the whole...
Did you see the hippie shake or any of the Boogaloo?
What do you mean the hippie shake?
He's using term, Bill. He's using 70s terms.
Okay, great. I didn't see any of that.
Well, the point is that there was an awful lot on display that was not dignified. I think there's a lot of Americans that would agree with me tonight, Phil, as we look back 1 year on the night that we all heard that bin Laden had been killed.
Can I just jump in with my recollection here?
And, excuse me. Where was I?
You were talking about the night we all heard.
On the night that we all heard, which was last year, I think there was a fair amount of indignity. I think there was a fair lack of dignity, and there was a fair indignity. There was an undignified indignity. What is the word I'm looking for?
Indignity?
Hot? No, I didn't say hot thing. There was
indignation?
Are you having fun correcting me, Phil? I'm trying to get...
Indignation, indignity. I hear what you're trying to go for.
All right. Indignation is what it is.
Hot diggity.
No, it isn't hot diggity. You know, Phil, it could be worse. You could be married to Frank.
Yeah.
What's so funny?
He would just walk around the house all day calling me her. So, you know.
I guess, would that feel good?
Okay, I want to jump in now with my recollection. What I remember of last year, it was a Sunday night, and I remember...
Well, how could that be a Sunday night if this we're talking about Tuesday?
Because it's a leap year.
Oh, leap year.
It was a Sunday night, God, and...
Well, I'm sorry, Phil, I don't keep track of the count. Ooh, leap year, woo!
Wow, ding, ding.
In any event, it was a leap year. It was a Sunday night. I had flipped on the television. I'd been gone all weekend, and I finally turned the TV set on, and holy God, there it was. Bin Laden had been killed. And what I remember wasn't a spontaneous hippie, shake, or boogaloo, or anything like that. I remember it starting outside the White House. It looked like, and one of the reporters said, there's a crowd gathering. You know, we got to take a break. I'm sorry.
Well, I have some things I want to say.
I know, but I got to take a break. We're way late. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Was America too undignified last year? I don't think so. Margaret Gray and her husband Frank joining us saying that things could have been a lot better last year. We could have been more dignified in how we celebrated the death of this man. And... have things really improved all that much since bin Laden has been killed? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous... Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking with Margaret Gray and Frank Gray about last year's killing of Osama bin Laden and the reaction of the country, which the two of you have said was inappropriate. Now, I heard that last year. I heard that from a variety of sources, none of whom, I have to tell you, and I'm not saying this about you guys, none of whom I respected.
What does that mean, respected?
Well, the first person I heard it from was Michael Moore, the filmmaker.
He's a terrific filmmaker, Phil. I know that he's polarizing.
Look, I'm not going to get into anything about Michael Moore other than the fact that I think he's a hypocrite. He's a lout.
Well, you know something? He's no more of a hypocrite still than a lot of these so-called documentarians that are not really recording anything at all other than just what they, you know, get their kicks doing.
And you just described Michael Moore.
I did what?
You just described Michael Moore.
I can't. Are you coughing?
I do. I have a little bit of an allergy. Look, let me take a phone call here. We'll get back to what it is that we're talking about here, and that is America's reaction. Here is Sully. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray.
Thank you, sir. I was just wanted to say I was actually outside the White House that night right after my shift was done at work. I went right down there. I'm an Air Force veteran. There's a lot of veterans out there. We were partying. I admit it. But, I mean, it was the end of an era, you know? It was something to party about.
Well, I mean, when you say you were an Air Force veteran, and so you're representing the United States of America's armed forces. Were you in uniform?
That's what I want to know.
No, I was not.
What kind of a job? Are you retired? Are you not in the Air Force anymore, sir?
No, I'm not.
All right, so...
So you went hopping up and down doing the boot scoot boogie in an Air Force uniform. That would have been...
No, ma'am.
Absolutely. That would have been nauseating.
I agree. That would not be doing good life in uniform.
Frank, do you detect what I hear, Frank?
Yeah, you're almost laughing, aren't you, sir? I can hear there's a smile in your voice.
Yes,
there
sir.
There is a little bit of a... There's a grin. Why are you grinning? Do you think that I'm absurd?
I do.
Who said that?
I did.
Who said it?
I did. The host of the show, I did.
You think I'm absurd?
I think your point of view's absurd. This guy's in the military, or was. If anybody's going to be celebrating the fact that bin Laden's dead, it's guys in the military. That means they don't have to go over there and get shot at trying to find this ass.
Amen.
Call him an ass. Well, you called bin Laden an ass, and he was an ass for many of the things he did.
For many of the things he did, mass murder.
Oh, Phil, don't get dramatic. Just one more question to this gentleman. Do you feel that President Obama gets the credit for the killing of bin Laden or President Clinton?
What about President Bush?
I don't think Bush deserves it.
You know what? I support our presidents. I mean, he was the commander-in-chief when I was in there, so I cannot criticize my president. I think he gets the due the presidents get. The buck stopped with him, and he made a decision. So even though it was SEAL Team 6's kill, he is the president that was in office. So, you know, thank God. God bless America. That's all I can say.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel, too.
I just heard this young man say president. Is that...
He said president.
All right. Well, he's in the Air Force. I try to find out if these young people... Hey, you sound like a good guy, sir, and I thank God Almighty that you're there. Oh, you're not in anymore, though, are you?
Oh,
yeah.
No,
so now I don't feel so good about it. Yeah. If you were still in the Air Force, I'd feel good. But now...
God knows who's there.
Yeah, who knows who's there now?
Guy's just as good as him. Anyway, sir, thanks a lot, Sully, for your call. 877-876. Thank you, sir. That young man was outside the White House, a member of our military, celebrating.
I've got a problem with that. Now, I know he wasn't in uniform, so that's good. But,
Boot scoot boogie. Can you imagine a guy that...
Will you knock it off with the dancing, okay?
Well, that's what they were doing.
Well, I didn't see any dancing other than just impromptu. The kind of dancing that is spontaneous, that erupts from a human being when we're feeling good about something, you know?
Do you dance when you erupt or not erupt?
Do I dance when I what?
Do you ever spontaneously dance?
Yeah, I do.
Like when?
When I feel good about something.
So when's the last time you felt good about something?
It's been a long time.
Been a damn long time for me.
Yeah, me too.
Well, you didn't dance last year when bin Laden died, huh?
Did you?
Not really, no. But then I live so far away from wherever I could dance, man. I mean, I live at the beach in California, which is not exactly what I call ground zero for bin Laden celebrations. Everything around here, the only time anybody gets up to dance around here is if somebody throws on a side of freaking Sublime or something. All right, we'll be right back here. Margaret Gray, Frank Gray, and the killing of bin Laden 1 year later. Was America inappropriate in its reaction? What has changed? And who gets the credit? President Obama? President Bush? President Clinton? Who? 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Boogaloo. That's what he said.
Yeah. I didn't say boogaloo, Phil. I said...
I know that.
All right.
Phil Henry.
How much time do we have? Can I take a dump?
Here, the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and Margaret Gray and, let me turn the fan off here, Margaret Gray and Frank Gray join us from their home in Santa Monica. We're also going to go to Charleston, West Virginia in a moment and talk with Kurt Quede and Guy Barton, two members of the West Virginia State Legislature, two state senators out there and big supporters of President Obama. At least they're certainly very, very big voting Democrats, and this is a Democratic administration. So we can kind of clean up our last little point here, Margaret, we're talking about the American people celebrating, and celebrating vociferously and in a very unrestrained way. You found a lot of indignity, I guess was the word you're looking for?
No, indignity was not the word I was looking for. Thank you, Phil. And I appreciate very much your comments, but I also think I know the English language, so when I said I had a hard time pronouncing indignity, I've got a hard time with that word.
She's saying what she wanted to say, Phil, and I'm talking about my son now.
Your son?
Yeah, I'm talking about Jason Jay. She wanted to come on and say indignity because she heard her mother not being able to pronounce it.
Okay, thank you very much, Frank.
You're welcome.
It's gender confusion.
I know. I got to tell people, Frank Gray has gender confusion. Do you know what it is you want to say?
Yes, I said the diggity. Not diggity, but that's what I mean.
You mean indignity?
Yes. I'm having a hard time with the word.
So, all right, the diggity of it.
No, the diggity, but...
Well, was it diggity-do?
I'm not going to say diggity-do. I'm not going to say diggity-do. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care how stupid I sound. I don't care how much I've already butchered this interview. Beyond all recognition, I will not say diggity-do.
All right.
But what happened out there, Phil, is people exhibited a lot of diggity-do.
Meaning indignity?
Yes.
All right.
No, I can see you rolling your eyes. I mean, I can't really, but I can imagine you're rolling your eyes now and thinking, what a fruitcake, aren't you?
No, I'm just, I got to get to another call. I've got another guest on the line. I got two guests on the line.
No, hold on for a minute. Are you rolling your eyes or not?
No, I'm not rolling my eyes.
Did you do the curled lip routine?
I didn't do the curled lip or the rolling of the eyes. Here is Kurt Quede and Guy Barton from Rosie's in Charleston, West Virginia this evening, if we've got them on the Newsmaker line there. But we're going to be talking with these gentlemen tonight about their take on this most significant of days, the one-year anniversary of the killing of Osama bin Laden. And Guy Barton and Kurt Quede on the line with us. Kurt, how are you?
Hey, Phil, it's great, and we haven't been on your program in a long time, and very, very pleased, and we're very proud, of course, always to have on our own Phil Henry radio show, guys.
Thank you very much, Phil. We want to also say on this one-year anniversary that we're very proud of President Obama with the thing he did, and a United States military, too, and I heard you say I'm a Navy veteran. And
oh, you're a Navy guy, huh?
I'm a Navy veteran, and I heard you say a global force for good. United States Navy is the greatest, and it is the greatest Navy in the history of the world.
That's true about that, Phil. You know, you said the U.S. Navy is a global force for good. By God, that's the truth. I'm not a military man. I know that Guy had been in the U.S. Navy. He'd been down in the Navy in the early 60s, though, there, Admiral Rickover and all them, isn't that right?
Yeah, they did that up washed up, man. I get in a bathtub with him anytime.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You get in a bathtub with him anytime. Is that a Navy term?
Yeah, no Navy term, Admiral Rickover.
Yeah, they used to call him old Admiral Rollover, you know.
I didn't doubt he got to have more respect.
I don't mean to not have no respect, but I just, you know, I like the kid guy. But, Phil, I think on his first anniversary of what happened to Bin Laden, can I interrupt for a moment, please? Yes, ma'am, please do. Do you mind introducing us, Phil?
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry.
My God.
I'm sorry.
I'm sure Phil didn't mean nothing by it, ma'am. Oh, yes, he did. He meant a lot by it.
I'm sorry I forgot, okay? Guy, Kurt, this is Margaret Gray.
Hello.
And Frank Gray.
Well, how y'all?
Hey, how are you? Yeah, Mr. Gray, how are you? This is Guy Broughton. I've heard some much about you. Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right. So, Kurt, you were telling me about how the day is sitting with you.
Phil, I just want to say, you know, we are proud. We're proud as hell. All the fighting men and women of the United States, and of course the U.M. Navy, guys have been a Navy veteran, but oh, not just the Navy, U.S. Marine Corps, you know, a part of the Navy, and also, of course, our Army and our Air Force, and all the good young men, and National Guard, you know, they all go over, and all them when they're in Iraq and Afghanistan and everything. We are just very, very pleased as punch that this was successful.
Well, on the anniversary, too. Now, I heard of people saying a dancing and doing a boogaloo and a boot skates, what you call a boot scoot boogie. But I never seen nothing like that. I did see a couple of snake rattle roll and shake a toe.
And shake a tail feather, too.
I've seen the shake a tail feather.
And what are you talking about now?
He's mentioning dances. Are those dances?
Yes, ma'am, they are. I saw all of those, but I never saw any others.
Yeah, I told you that there was dancing going. Well, what I wanted to identify...
What difference does it make of the names of the dances?
I just have a thing I've seen.
Yeah, well, what we're saying, Phil, we saw Shake a Tail Feather. Is that a dance? Oh, yes, ma'am. Yeah, oh, yeah. It's a dance, all right. It's a dance they try to popularize it. Tina Turner. Y'all heard of her?
Yeah, I've heard of Tina Turner. I was in the entertainment business myself.
Oh, were you, sir? What did you do?
And I was a television producer, but I remember Tina Turner quite vividly, and she's a remarkable talent.
Oh, yeah, Tina Turner was the best, you know, and I remember a guy, before you come into business, didn't you doing some record promotion?
Yeah, my wife did a record promotion.
Okay, that's fine. Can we move past Tina Turner, okay, Shake a Tail Feather? You guys are talking about dances?
I'm talking about the indignity of the American people standing out on sidewalks the night that Bin Laden was killed, shaking their asses as if they're on American Bandstand. Now, what about that don't you understand?
That about says it.
Oh, man, this lady, she's loaded for bear, ain't she?
I would beg to differ, ma'am.
No, I'm not talking to you right now. I'm talking to Mr. Hendry.
Ma'am, I'm
talking to Mr. Hendry.
What don't I understand about what? About...
Oh, my God, do I have to say it again?
No, I heard you. You're talking about them dancing like it's American Bandstand. Is that it?
Yes.
All right, my read on that is the following. You cannot censor and you cannot limit people's spontaneous reaction when they let off steam and they let off, they're getting rid of a lot of tension and a lot of fear. And that's what I saw last year. I saw a country of people, the American people, and frankly, it happened around the world. These were people that...
No, you can't say it happened around... When did it happen around the world? What's he saying?
Ma'am, I think I've seen that around the world, too, on a news show. I did, too. I didn't see it.
Well, there were people dancing around there, weren't they? I don't know.
No, I didn't. This was strictly an American celebration.
All right, fine. I don't give a damn. It was a lot of tension being released. It was a lot of pressure that was finally off, and people were finally just, God, this scumbag is dead. You saw with your own eyes exactly what the death of that man meant to the American people. We were all kind of holding it inside, and I think that's why it was so upsetting to guys like Michael Moore, the fat slob.
Oh my God, what a cheap shot.
Well, that's tough. I think that's why it was upsetting to a guy like that, because he thought that everybody was like him. He thought everybody thought the way he did, that it's really Bush's fault, and it's really not important, and, you know, Bin Laden is one thing, but America's done so many worse things, and blah, 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 blah. And he probably thought everybody thought the way he did, felt the way he did, and looked at things the way he did, and when they finally greased this piece of crap, and everybody busted out with the dancing and the boogaloo and the boot scoot boogie, or whatever the hell it is you guys are talking about, And
don't talk about shake a tail feather.
And the shake a tail feather, whatever. It probably shocked him. And he probably went, oh, God, my goodness, why, this is not what I expected. And harumphed his fat ass over to the refrigerator for another kielbasa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to say that.
That was out of sight.
Thank you very much.
That was absolute slander.
No, it was slander?
Absolute slander, what you said.
Well, I thought it was pretty good, ma'am.
You there, West Virginia, keep a lid in it. Or whatever, keep a plug in it. A lid, keep your lid on.
I'll keep my lid on.
There you go. I thought what you just said there, Phil, was the most slanderous, vicious thing that it has ever been my misfortune to hear.
Now, Mark...
Hold on, wait a minute. The fat ass waddled over to the refrigerator. What did he do?
I said he went over to the refrigerator for another kielbasa, and then Kurt and Guy applauded me.
I'll get to them in a moment.
Ma'am, hold on, Charlie.
I said, hey there, West Virginia, I'm not going to say it again. Shut up. Now, you sit there and you talk about one of the great filmmakers of the latter half of the 20th century waddling to the refrigerator for a kielbasa because he was upset with what?
Because he was upset. He was one of the guys saying, oh, America is celebrating the death of Bin Laden. Boy, that's really not very becoming. And he was making all these comments. And I think it was shocking to him and it was upsetting to him because he thought everybody in America saw things. Michael Moore is one of these guys who thinks everybody is seeing things his way. And then when the reality hits him, he's all like, he doesn't get it. He thought John Kerry was going to get elected in 2004. He was absolutely sure of it. What happened? Bush got reelected. He thought that's because Kerry walked out on a mall someplace in Ohio and 80,000 people were there. He forgot Bruce Springsteen was too. So that guy is completely out of it, and that's why I said what I said.
Yeah, but they kielbasa.
The kielbasa line was way out of line. Way out of line.
I'm going to say something. I'm not big conservative. I like a lot of things Michael Moore do. But you tell that man been next to a big, probably a big hole in kielbasa, but I think he'd been next to probably kielbasa and a big, thick sandwich bun.
Oh, yeah, I think that's the whole thing about Michael Moore. If you say going over for a kielbasa, you know he's got a refrigerator full of sandwich buns, specially cut so you can slide it in.
Yeah, I think so.
And what difference does it make, okay? What difference does it make whether he's got sandwich buns or not? The fact of the matter is, in my opinion only, and I was asked, that's why I think he said what he said. And I really, Margaret, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I think that's why you're saying, you're reacting the way you are. I think you thought a lot of the American people were going to be just all, President Obama has really disappointed you liberals, hasn't he?
Oh, well, what is this? Am I on the hot seat now?
I'm asking you a direct question. You're on an interview show, and I'm asking you a question.
What is your question?
President Obama has disappointed a lot of you liberals, hasn't he?
I think President Barack Obama has been led along by the nose by the conservative establishment in some ways, yes.
And what conservative establishment is that?
You know full well, the military...
When he's the commander-in-chief, you know, and the military doesn't do anything...
Well, let my wife finish, okay? He's making a good point.
Yeah, okay.
What did a man say?
Never mind.
I think that Obama got into the White House, and suddenly he got pressured by a lot of these heavy hitters, these America First conservatives, the Boehners and the this. You know, I hear that Obama and Boehner are now real good buddies. Oh, yeah, they go golfing.
I heard that.
They go golfing. And
they're not good buddies because they're not spiteful and hateful toward each other. They're not good buddies. I got to take a break. All right.
Well, of course you have to take a break, Phil, because that means...
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we continue discussing the one-year anniversary of the killing of Osama bin Laden. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The yeah. Phil Henry Show.
Call your wife. You better call your wife and tell you going to be late because I'll get me a gobble.
Got to get it, brother.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Margie, you were saying what?
No, I'm sorry. Are we on the air?
We're back on the air. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, the psychological impact of this takes me back to when I was a child, and I don't know if you have the kind of sensory memory that I have, but I can literally, I get sensory memory when I'm emotionally impacted by something. And I go all the way back to my days as a child when I would visit an uncle that we had in Chicago, and he had a dairy farm, and it was just outside of Chicago, and I remember it smelling, obviously, like cows, and it smelled the way a cow pasture would. It was very, very fetid, and it smelled like a cow pasture. And the sensory memory of that, combined with the conversation we're having, it's an odious smell. And the conversation we're having about America, when, yes, I agree, Kurt, and yes, I agree, Guy, our military did such a great job. But then to dance around as if we're Swahilis, and I don't mean that in a racist sense, because I've done a great many charitable works with people of color, but the smell of cow, the stink, God, I can smell it right now.
Ma'am, let me tell you something. I don't think that any time you say you have a sensory memory of the stench, the stink of a cow, because the country is celebrating. You know, I know, Kurt, you probably...
Well, again, I'm not a military man. I know Guy spent time U.S. Navy. Mr. Gray, sir, you have been military, sir?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Well, I don't see him. I thought I heard Jason J. Delmonico's voice.
No, the man...
Oh, she is. What was your question?
What do you mean, she?
No, never mind. He asked you, Frank, if you have ever been in the military.
Yeah, I told you. I was a radio operator in Korea.
Frank was in the Army.
Oh, okay, sir.
You was in Korea?
Radio operator, yeah.
All right, sir. Well, I've never been in the military, I'll tell you. I'm very proud of our military, and it don't make me smell bad stink, you know?
Yeah, the idea you're going to stink it up.
I didn't say I'm stinking it up. I said I can smell a stench. It reminds me of when I was a little girl visiting this farm that my uncle owned.
Because we're talking about Americans dancing.
Yes, it's very vivid. It's a sensory... But my God, I can... God, it stinks.
I don't know.
Have you got your shoes off?
What?
Have you got your shoes off, you bet? It's Frank's feet.
Okay.
Oh, is the man's feet? Yes, it is. And Mr. Henry's finding it all very funny.
Well, I mean, when you said it was sensory memory...
I didn't know what he was talking about.
I was talking about the stink of my father's farm, Frank, but I know it's your feet now.
I didn't do anything wrong.
You didn't do anything, Frank. She thought she was having some sensory memory of being on your father's farm or your uncle?
I'm sorry, my uncle's farm near Chicago. It was a dairy farm. Ma'am, can I say something? No, this is Kirk Queedy. Ma'am, I know you upset because you made a real boob out of yourself right there. You said you have a sensory memory and like that, and you could smell a stench. The stench of 1,000 years. I understand.
Like they had that funk. You ever had that egg farm, a funky egg?
I beg your... What is funky egg?
You never heard of a funky egg. That would not call funky egg, but thousand-year egg.
Are you talking about... Hold on. Are you...
Well, Phil, I think you know.
No, hold on. Are you talking about thousand-year-old egg or thousand-year egg?
Yeah, that's what called. Yeah, I call it funky. I call it funky egg for short.
Thousand-year egg is a Chinese dish that they serve at dinner. It's like an appetizer.
Well, what? So what do you mean?
Well, I thought you were spelling funky.
What do you mean funky egg? And what are we doing talking about a guy's feet anyway, you know?
I wasn't talking about a guy's feet. I was talking about the stink, and then he said something about the stench of 1,000 years.
That's what I mean by funky egg. Stench of 1,000 years.
It ain't the stench. It's a 1,000-year-old egg, I think is what it's called. The only reason why I know about it is I was in China, and I think I ate one.
How was it?
I didn't like it.
Year old.
No, it's not 1,000 years old. It's an egg that is somehow, it is pickled. It is somehow made, it pickled in a brine of some kind. I'm not really crazy about pickled eggs, if you'll, you know, if it's all the same to you.
I could give a sweet Jesus. Who cares about, I don't care either, Phil.
Well, fine, okay. So when you said the funk of a thousand years, you talk about a bad smell?
That's what I'm talking about, yeah. Bill, this is Frank Gray.
Go ahead, Frank.
Let me tell you something. My feet don't smell like the funk of a thousand years, friend. I'm just talking about what your wife said.
Hey, this is Frank. Your feet stink.
All right. Okay, well, I guess we've burned up the last quarter hour of this hour talking about Frank's feet.
No, we did not, Phil. I was talking about the stink.
You were talking about a stench that you remembered from your uncle's farm. It's actually your husband's feet. And we were talking about America celebrating on the occasion of bin Laden's death.
Well, all right. So, yay!
That was real pretty, Mr. Henry, real pretty.
Yeah, let's give him a round of applause, because there you go. You tied it up nicely again.
Well, Margaret, if I embarrassed you or if I otherwise preempted you in ways that you didn't like, I apologize, but it is my job to keep things moving.
Speaking of moving, Phil, this is Frank.
Go ahead.
I need to have a bowel movement. Are we done?
Yes, we're done. God.
Yeah, man, I got to hear that man there.
Oh, whoa, wow, that man, he's that.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, guys.
Phil, I'm dead.
What a cacophony of jackballs. Coming back, it's going to be the world-famous Phil Henry News and Information Hour with Bud and Robert. Stick around. God.
Oh, yeah.
Phil Henry. Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And it's the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-7445. And we're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. We have Phil TV and HD going right now. That is a live streaming video cast of our show. With a backstage pass, you can watch that. You can get our podcast tomorrow. You can listen to our live stream for free. It's not live. It's our stream we make available to you guys the following day, and it's free. But if you want to get the podcast, you get a BSP, and you get all kinds of multiple hours of great entertainment. PhilHenryShow.com, and our shop is open. We've got a couple of items that are going to be coming in here for the summer months. We will be talking tonight, if we do have time, we'll be talking tonight about the L.A. school district that has been hit with these multiple charges of child molestation. It's just beyond belief. And we'll have, if we do have time, we'll have Glenn Gladell, who is an attorney, to talk with us about that. We'll have one of our regulars, a contributor, frequent contributor, very popular contributor on our show here in a moment, Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. And we're going to talk with Ms. Dooley and her husband, Steve, about the rights of immigrant workers arrived in this country, working in this country, who are here legally, and what their rights are, what the pitfalls are, what they're still facing. You know, it's interesting, Ms. Dooley, I was watching TV here just a moment ago, and I saw Joe Arpaio. It's the show, I forget the name of the show.
I know it. It's the Police Women of Maricopa County.
Well, the Sheriff Women.
Yeah, that's it. It's Police Women or Female Officers of Maricopa County.
Yeah, we know the show, yeah.
And I was looking, I have to tell you, Joe Arpaio has been up front and center with the immigrant fight there in Arizona. But this one had nothing to do with immigrants. He was arresting deadbeat dads, you know.
Well, unfortunately, I'm not a big fan of his. I would love to be able to say that I support his efforts at arresting deadbeat fathers. I will say that that's the one thing that he's gotten right, but what he has done with immigrants, Phil, I just...
You're not in agreement at all?
No, I'm not.
Well, tell me what you're up against here, because I know that you and your husband got involved in this for personal reasons.
Do you want to...
Oh, go ahead.
Well, Phil, my husband, Steve, is a very successful, a wildly successful landscape architect, and we were planning a little bit of a barbecue for himself and for some of the guys that work with him. I have had a young woman working for me for about 6 months named Veronica.
She was on her way here yesterday.
Now, she does what?
Well, she's basically a domestic. And by that, I mean she does cleaning. She can do some cooking. She was going to assist in preparing for this party that we had scheduled for Saturday afternoon. As I mentioned to you, she was traveling here yesterday with her sister. They were pulled over by a Los Angeles County sheriff. They both had California-issued ID cards. The sheriff who pulled them over, the sheriff deputy who pulled them over, asked for the driver's license of Veronica's sister, young lady. But what is Veronica's sister's name? I don't know.
Birdie or Bertha?
Birdie? Bertha? Birdie. And so they asked Birdie for her driver's license, and she handed the police officer her ID, and Veronica handed the ID to the police officer.
Did she have a driver's license?
Well, hold on for a minute, because I'm getting to the point of what I'm trying to say to you. I was expecting Veronica. Her sister has work here in the neighborhood as well. The police officer detained the sister, would not release them, and apparently placed the sister into some kind of custody, I think. Veronica was not able to make it here yesterday. She had to get a ride that would only take her back to her home. And this was the result of an overzealous detective or sheriff or member of the sheriff's department arresting a young woman who clearly had identification.
Well, she did not have a driver's license.
Well, Mr. Henry, a driver's license is a good faith effort.
My husband believes, Phil, that a driver's license, the ID is a good faith effort toward the driver's license. Steve was telling me, and he also believes in, and wants me to express to you that when you consider the number of people in America that don't know how to drive, who are born and raised here, who drive terribly, to ask this young woman who gave the police officer an ID card.
But it was not a driver's license.
But my husband believes, Phil, and what the point that I want to make, the ID card for an immigrant from either Mexico, Central America, or South America is a good faith effort toward showing that they want to get the driver's license. They have not yet gotten the driver's license.
But because they have not yet gotten the driver's license, they therefore are still not legal, regardless of the good faith effort.
Well, Steve was saying, Phil, to me earlier, and wanted me to communicate to you the following thing. And as I said earlier, while the ID is not a driver's license, people who are born and raised in the United States, people born and raised in the state of California or anywhere else, they don't drive any better than the average immigrant from Mexico. So it's a good faith effort to have that ID to say...
Well, why not just go all the way and get the driver's license? Are you saying that...
To say that they need to get... Well, this is my point, Phil. And it's Steve's point, to say that they need to get the driver's license is essentially telling them to go an extra step beyond what the average American has to go through. Because the average American only needs to get the driver's license even though they don't even know how to drive.
Well, that isn't true. You know.
Well, it is true, Mr. Henry, but a lot of them on the road.
Well, my husband believes that there is... The average American may go through a driver test, he may go through a written test, but the evidence out there on the highways is very clear. People don't know how to drive. And to enforce some driving ability on an immigrant that the average American does not have is unconstitutional. And my husband believes that that is really at the crux here.
Well, what happened, Bobby, what you're telling me is... You had a woman that works for you, does domestic work for you. She didn't make it to work because her sister was stopped and, I guess, taken into custody for not having a driver's license?
That is correct, yeah.
Okay. And that's going to happen, even if you have a suspended license. suspended license, no license. But
it's going to happen to people who don't have a driver's license, but she had her ID.
Gentlemen, you understand, Mr. Attorney, they had their legal ID, issued ID in the state of California, now the ID.
All right, but I mean, there's nothing that says an immigrant who has just landed here in the United States only needs to have an ID to drive a car, right?
Well, we think that the spirit of the law, and Steve believes the spirit of the law is yes.
Yeah, well, I think I only need that.
Why?
Because that ID represents a good faith effort toward a driver's license. Look, these are people that we rely on, and as I tried to say at the very beginning here, this was the girl that was on her way over to our home to help me with a function that we were planning this weekend that unfortunately now I'm going to be hard-pressed to find someone, and I'll literally, I guess, have to walk up and down the street and knock on doors to see if I can use whoever day labor they've got or whatever they've got, because this girl worked for me.
But her sister is stopped by the cops. She doesn't have a driver's license. Now I hear what you're saying. You know, the ID that they got is a good faith effort at getting a driver's license.
That is correct. And my husband also believed, but one more thing. That ID is equal to a driver's license for a regular American.
That's right.
Because a regular American really doesn't do much to get a driver's license. They don't.
Well, hold on for just a minute.
They don't. Well, my husband believes that even if they take a driver's test, they take a written test, the evidence is out there on the road every day. People can't drive.
Wait, okay, but you can't say that they don't learn how to drive, because you're right. I had to take a driving test. Okay. And
have you taken a driving test since then?
I can't remember. I took a driving test. I've had a driver's license in Florida, in California. The only other driving test besides a California driving test I took was a Florida driving test, because I think my license had expired by the time I got to Florida. So I took a driving test there. One, I took a driving test as a kid here, and the rest has been.
You renew by mail.
Exactly.
Right. So your driving skills could have eroded immensely. But no one is testing for that. In the meantime, a young woman that I need for a party that we are holding for a business that is my husband's and is very, very important to, obviously, our well-being and the happiness of our home, I am not going to be able to have it the way I want to have it, because even though they had the ID...
But that's good enough driver's license.
Which is as good as a driver's license. They were... Veronica's sister was taken into custody.
You guys are advocating that a ID should be all that's required of an immigrant here in the United States.
That my husband believes that here, when they first arrive, yes, the only thing you need is that legal ID. That will be your driver's license, your legal ID. In some instances, it can act as a credit card some kind of a debit card where... if you could use that for a California repository of money where immigrants can go and use it as a debit card to draw money from either a state or a federal bank.
That's just ridiculous. I mean, you're telling me now that someone comes to the country, they have an ID card, and they use it also as a credit card, and they don't need a driver's license.
No, you're not hearing, Mr. Henry.
No, you really need to hear this. You really have to just stop and hear it. They don't need the driver's license because most Americans don't really know how to drive.
That's the most important thing, huh?
All right, we're going to get back. Bobby, Steve, hang on for me, please.
Of course.
Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. And basically, the point they're laying out here is that people who are recently arrived immigrants, like in her case, a domestic who's from Mexico, they don't need a driver's license. Just an ID is sufficient. A young lady that works for her got arrested by the police because she didn't have a driver's license. This ID should also be a credit card for them. It can also be a driver's license. But it should be all-encompassing. And apparently, according to her, these people got arrested for no reason. Your thoughts on this? I know what I think. You got to have a driver's license. You got to have a driver's license. 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we have Bobby and Steve Dooley, frequent contributors to our program, on the line. We're talking tonight about the rights of immigrants. Mr. and Mrs. Dooley are at the forefront of a group of people that want to recraft the laws as they pertain to immigrant workers. Now, this was a young lady that you had working for you. Does she still work for you?
Well, I can't keep her employed if she's not able to get to our home. And she was using her sister's transportation. Her sister is now scared to death of driving, which means now those are two young women who are out of the work pool. And those are two young women that a couple of, I know, one of my girlfriends who relies very heavily on Bertie's work, and Veronica's been with me for 6 months. What we want to see, Phil, is simply this. It doesn't have to be, it does not have to be a large trauma, I think, for law enforcement or for our lawmakers. Simply state the ID, if it is held by a Mexican, a Central American, or a South American, is sufficient as a driver's license. Again, the ID, if it is held by Mexicans, Central Americans, or South Americans, is perfectly fine as a driver's license. And that way, I would not be faced with what I'm faced with. And my husband has been at the forefront of this for a long time.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. The ID is sufficient as a driver's license for people from Mexico, Central America, and South America. Let's talk to James here on the Phil Hendry Show. James, go ahead.
Hi, Phil. Just want
yes,
to
sir.
Comment on this. I am a police officer. A driver's license is required to drive a motor vehicle upon a roadway. And a lot of people think that just because they have a driver's license that they have a right to drive. It's not a right. It's a privilege. And people have to earn that privilege, and they got to do what's legal on the road to keep that privilege. We suspend drivers all the time for DUI, et cetera, et cetera. The immigrants want to come into our country legally. Great. It sounds like this is a legal immigrant here. Why should we have a different standard for this person who's trying to be a U.S. citizen than we do for any other U.S. citizen? An ID.
Well, it's
is not
a good faith effort.
An ID card is not
a good
faith effort.
It's a good faith effort.
Driver's license is not a good faith effort.
James, you're a police officer. You're a police officer, and you see how Americans drive. Americans drive horribly.
Yeah,
and so why should a Mexican have to drive better?
Submitting your name and information to get an ID card, a piece of paper or a piece of plastic that says this is who I am, is not a good faith effort towards saying I can drive. It's not a good.
Well, no, I don't think the officer understands me, Phil. I'm saying to you, if you can listen to me, I'm saying.
I have. You keep interrupting.
That if the Mexican, I've listened to you, officer. You know, you must be really used to just talking at people, and I know you have a badge, but why don't you listen?
Let's not be rude, Ms. Dooley.
Well, I think he's not hearing me. I'm saying, I know that it's illegal. What we're trying to do is make it an absolutely legal piece of identification. If you pull over only Mexicans and they have this ID, then it's good for a driver's license. Now, you say it's not. I know that. We would like to make it so. And the average American with a driver's license, they can't drive any further than the White Castle.
Yeah, that's the thing.
All right. James, comment?
Sure. Good faith effort, an ID card is a good faith effort towards having a driver's license. It's not the same application process. It has it is not a good faith effort towards getting a driver's license. Matter of fact, some people, once they lose their driver's privileges, choose to get an ID card because their driver's license has been taken away from them. They have no ability to get another driver's license. That ID card has nothing to do with a driver's license. It simply identifies a person from a state.
Okay.
Well, you're giving a lot of political opinions for a police officer, isn't that?
What's wrong with that?
I would rather he just not.
Are you allowed to do that?
Okay, yes, he is. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Maybe they're not, and maybe that's why a lot of police officers don't like us to say where they are working. Here is, or what agency they work for. Here's Cody, but I think they ought to be allowed to speak. Cody, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Thank you for having me, Phil. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs.
Yes, sir.
Dooley. I've been listening for quite some time, and I don't understand why you're already doing the condescending before I even stated my
Already? Story. What do you mean already?
Yeah. The condescending that you did to the officer.
Right.
Let me just share my opinion, and you can agree with it or disagree with it, but let's have a conversation.
Whatever. Whatever.
Okay, my point is similar to that of the officers, which is if somebody's going to enter the country, this is a melting pot. I invite anyone, but I don't understand how you equate an ID with the ability to drive. Yes, Americans are terrible drivers. I spend a lot of time on the road. I'm with you on that 100%. No question.
Exactly.
But there has
to be
some type of test that everyone has to take in order to make sure that everyone is capable of knowing the laws and following them. And like the
outside. Well, that's not a good faith effort.
What about the good faith effort? What about the
good faith effort? Is great in a lot of things, maybe for payment for a credit card, so you don't get shut off. But not something that society as a whole views as something necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And a good litmus test of what type of driver you're going to be when you go into a registry and you take an exam. Most states or a lot of states also have driver's education courses that are mandatory. You need to take a written.
Okay, listen, we got to take a break, Cody. That's very good, very very good call, and I appreciate it very much. And he broke that down. You know, pretty well.
What he's missing, Phil, and what a lot of your callers are missing, these are Mexican immigrants who we need in our workforce, and what we're trying to do is get them legal and get them to their places of work. And in this short term, oh my.
Phil,
hold on.
Henry.
Oh my God.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us as we talk about immigrant rights, as you and your husband have described this, Bobby, and that is domestic workers, I guess any kind of worker.
Mostly domestic, Phil, because these are the people that we rely on. On a daily basis, I think more heavily than any other of the immigrants. And we have to get them to our homes and to our schools and to our places of business, wherever they may be working. This is a practical problem that I had. And my husband feels, given the fact that this was a very important function, this was going to be a function for his job, that this young woman that was going to work for us is suddenly not able to get here because her sister, who had an ID card, a legal ID card.
But not a driver's license. And this is the, and I hear what you're saying. The driver's license is a moot point because most Americans can't drive.
Well, my husband believes that because if you go out on the roads and you see how bad the driving is, how can we in good conscience... How can we, and morally, really, how can we have the moral high road and demand that Mexicans get a driving lesson or a driving test when we ourselves don't know how to drive? And my husband believes that the fairest thing to do is to just have them get this ID card and call it a wash.
Just call it a wash because they're going to be a lot better off.
All right. Hold on. 877-876-7445. Calling it a wash means just letting them use their ID as a driver's license. And, you know, this is all a matter of opinion as to whether or not Americans are good drivers or bad drivers or whatever. Here is David. David, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, well, first off, I'm a professional truck driver. I've been driving for 20 years. And you're wanting to put immigrants on the highway jeopardize my life and your life?
Not to jeopardize your life. People are already jeopardizing your life.
No, because you yourself, lady, are on high
horse.
An identification card is an ID card. Leave it what it is.
We're trying
to make something that's not.
But a driver's license should mean that you know how to drive.
They do not have the rights of American citizens.
Well, a driver's license should mean you know how to drive, and it doesn't in the United States.
Yeah, driver's license, most people drive like crap.
Yeah, okay, they drive like crap. Okay, I drive 8,000-pound vehicles up and down the highway every day. All right.
Yes, if you drive like crap, you probably kill people. If you drive, I'm not saying you do drive like crap, you probably drive good. But you got to deal with a lot of people who do drive crap.
But
if you're driving a vehicle,
I have to be defensive. But down here around the border, these people do not know what they're doing. They can kill somebody, go back across the border, and be scot-free. I don't think it's likely.
Well, but David, I don't think it's likely someone's going to come across the border to try to get work in America, and the first thing they're going to want to do is run someone over. More likely, they're going to drive as safely as they can to get to where they're going.
Yeah, they're going.
And then they get pulled over.
10 times slower than everybody else. And
well, you know, would you rather them go really? I don't know what they're doing. All I know is there are Americans with driver's licenses that are breaking the speed limit, that are driving their motorcycles dangerously, that are tailgating. You've seen them. You're in a truck. You have to control that truck, and someone cuts you off. So, and those are Americans.
But what you're saying, therefore, because Americans drive crappy, Mexicans shouldn't have to get driver's licenses.
We're talking about fair play.
It's fair play for Mexico.
Fair play for Mexico.
Yes.
Okay. Well, they are Mexicans. They are coming over here to take home work from us. Y'all are putting them to work, and y'all are putting them to work, and they are sitting there coming over here and saying, why don't you hire an American to do your job instead of a Mexican?
Well, because quite frankly, Americans are, you know, I never thought I'd say this, but Americans are.
They're lazy.
They're a lot lazier.
The lazier, huh? Are you sure it's...
They're absolutely. You hire an American, and more than like the American is going to sit there. You'd swear that they were Mexicans because they're sitting under a tree and they're eating and they're singing.
Americans.
Yes.
Yeah, you hire an American, I'd see them sit under a tree and sing.
Y'all must live with silver spoons in your mouth all your life because the way you see the world is totally wrong.
What do you mean totally wrong? I hire an American, and they sit under a tree and play a harmonica, and I've got to kick them in the rear end and get them going. A lot of cattle drive trash. You get these guys right off the trail, the Sedalia Trail. So what we're trying to do is just get all I wanted was some domestic help for a party. I hired a couple of very hardworking girls. They had a legal ID. The sheriff arrested her anyway. And meanwhile, there's an American out there that's driving and killing and killing and driving, and I don't know.
A lot of Americans just drive the way they want to do.
There's an old saying, there's the way it is and there's the way it ought to be, and you guys are talking about the way it ought to be, which I understand, but the way that it is something that we're going to have to deal with sooner or later. Listen, David, I appreciate your call very much. Our number, 877-876-7445. Here is another David on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, David.
Hello, Phil. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
You heard my point, right?
I did hear your point, yeah.
Yeah, the first thing
Are you the new David?
He's the new David, yes.
So go ahead. I got to tell you, I have driven cars illegally in the past, and I learned my lesson. I learned to do things the right way. Mm-hmm. And I know for one thing, a good safe effort would be to get a driver's permit.
Mm-hmm.
You can get that from just taking a written test. You don't even have to take a driving test.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I've been in the construction industry, and I may be a little jealous at times, but I'll have to admit, 90% of the Mexicans and the Hispanics that I have met are very hardworking and put a lot of Americans to shame.
Oh, absolutely.
But the fact of the matter is, from the that would be unfair to all the other immigrants. What about all the other immigrants you're saying to just do this for Mexicans?
David, yeah, it's what it is a checklist. There has to be a
think they should at least get a permit, a driver's permit. That is a good
mm-hmm.
safe effort.
I would agree for Europeans. You're right. I would agree with that for Europeans. But the Mexicans, we've got to get in here and get settled. And the reason, you asked me the reason what we want is a checklist. We want a, in terms of desirability, I guess, and I shouldn't say that, but...
it's been a long time since we've had desirability for immigrants, but we feel the most desirable immigrant right now has got to be the Mexican. And there you go.
Well,
honestly,
a lot of Hispanic people are hardworking. Not just Mexicans. A lot of the Hispanic people that come from, they have to improve themselves. They're sending money back to their families. And I can't blame any human being trying to improve their lives.
But that's what we're saying. We're saying Mexicans, Central Americans, and South Americans, particularly South Americans from Tierra del Fuego, from the further southern areas.
From Tierra del Fuego.
I'm unemployed right now, and
well, there you go. That's why.
It's hard. It's hard to do. Yeah, a lot of Mexican people have taken, a lot of construction jobs, but I still...
But that's my point. If we didn't have these Americans sitting under trees and playing their guitar...
All right. We're talking over each other.
Americans
do. Good point, David.
But again, Phil, I think Americans need to work. But if I've got a Mexican who's willing to work a little bit through his lunch hour, and I have an American who cannot wait... to get a harmonica out or get a banjo out or whatever they're doing.
You've got this sort of...
the Mexican guy and make him work through his lunch hour when he has a right to have that lunch hour, too? Because it sounds like...
No, if he wants to get into my good graces, I'm going to likely want to keep him working and the American can go down the road.
You're going to fire the American because the American simply took his lunch break. All right, David, thank you for your call.
What are you talking about?
You're going to fire the American because he simply took his lunch break. The Mexican is going to get the work because he worked 15 minutes more.
There's something about a man who sits under a tree playing a harmonica that I think is insulting to another man that's working.
All right. Thank you, David, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. What is that? I don't understand what that is when you say that is there's something about a man that sits under a tree playing a harmonica that's insulting.
Well, the guy's sitting there playing a harmonica.
My husband feels, Phil, that when a man's working hard and another man is sitting and he's playing a kazoo or whatever he's doing, it's almost as if he's saying, ha ha, to you, you're working, ha ha. And that I will not abide.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Should we just allow Mexican, Central American, and South American workers to have an ID that is sufficient for a driver's license? They don't need to get a driver's license, simply the ID, because it wouldn't be fair to ask them to get a driver's license when most Americans don't know how to drive. Here is Keith on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Keith.
Oh, Phil. I just listened to this. I can't believe the comments. You want to exclude a whole segment of our population that works hard to get a driver's license and abide by the laws, and allow one section to have an ID, a state ID, and say, "Oh, that's good for a driver's license." That's about the most racist comment you can make.
Well, no, that's not racist, because we're talking about nationalities.
Racist, you want to exclude everybody else.
If it's racist, what about Mexican-Americans? I'm not talking about them.
Well, yes, you're excluding them. You're being racist to them, too. I mean, hardworking Americans.
How am I being racist to them but not racist to the other Mexicans?
because you're
that's
saying
not racist.
A good, hard-working American Mexican has a driver's
yes.
license. And yeah. you're saying, okay, these immigrants from South America, they don't need one because they're here, they want to work, and everything else. So we should just exclude all laws for them and give them an ID and say that's good for everything. That's
only
wrong.
Because my husband believes that most Americans don't know how to drive.
Yeah, and most Americans drive crappy anyway.
It doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter. You want to circumvent mm-hmm. laws to exclude the rest of society to help one small segment of society? That's wrong.
Well, we already do it when it comes to, and I can certainly understand the thinking behind, for instance, we don't allow gays to marry. So there are segments of society that do not get rights. And
wait a second here. Segments of society that don't get rights, you're saying all of society.
Well, no, I'm simply saying that everyone in America can have their driver's license. It doesn't
but
mean you know how to drive. But if you want to get yours, that's fine.
But
a Mexican being held to the...
That comes here from somewhere else, no
mm-hmm.
driver's license,
mm-hmm.
and they should be exempt from everybody else. You're saying,
exactly.
Oh, you're from
exactly.
South America, you don't need a driver's license. That's wrong.
Exactly. Because if you look at... If we take you...
License.
Well, Keith, I know, but if we look at the way you drive... And then we look at the way a Mexican drives. Is there a difference? I'm asking you.
Well, yeah, maybe there's no difference, but why does he not have to have a driver's license and I do?
Because he drives just as good as you. Because he drives just as good as you.
Because he drives, my husband said, because he drives just as good as you.
Well, still, but
well,
I
so
have
what
a
if he...
driver's license and they don't have to have one? Why is that?
Exactly.
Why is they better than me?
Because it's racist to ask them to go through a series of tests that Americans go through and they still can't drive.
Well,
so I don't understand that.
They don't need to take
mm-hmm.
that step. They don't
mm-hmm.
need to take that step. I have to take it.
Yeah, my husband, well, you
to
took
have
it.
A driver's license.
Yes, you took it and you still drive like a Mexican, is what you're saying. So what we're saying
I drive,
is they.
So
I'm sorry?
It doesn't matter. Okay, if I drive like a Mexican or I drive like whoever. I have to have that driver's license. If I don't have it, I can't even have a job.
But we're saying there was no need for you to get that driver's license because you don't drive good anyway. So
you're
why not just go
drive.
With the ID?
I've been driving.
You just said you drive like a Mexican.
I don't know how I drive.
You said you drive like a Mexican, right?
I thought you guys said Mexicans drive okay. See, that's where we're getting hung up on a lot of semantical stuff. But essentially what I think you're saying is Americans don't drive well. They got driver's licenses, and it still doesn't guarantee that they drive well. So why force Mexicans?
Exactly.
Because Americans have to, and that is this gentleman's point. Americans, Keith is saying, we may not drive well, we may drive well, but we still have to get that driver's license.
No, but we don't drive.
No, we don't drive well.
Well, you know, you say we don't drive well. Keith doesn't drive well. You say he drives like a Mexican. And I thought you said they drive just as, I don't know. Keith, thank you for your call. I'm going to take a break
Phil.
Here.
Have a good day.
Thank you very much. You too. 877-876-PHIL. Should illegal immigrants, take it back. Should legal immigrants, should all they need to drive a car be their ID? They don't need to get a driver's license, just the ID, because the ID is a good faith effort at getting a driver's license. And besides, Americans have driver's licenses and don't drive well at all. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show. That's 877-876-7445. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. I apologize to my Phil TV viewers. We had that last segment muted. That is a technical problem that we're still working on. However, we should be fine. On the line with me is Bobby and Steve Dooley. And we are talking about...
Phil, if I could interrupt you, when you say muted, Were we not on the air?
Well, no, we were on the air. We were on the air. Our video cast, unfortunately, we had the audio muted technical reasons that we're still trying to get a workaround for. All right. Anyway, our number 877-876-PHIL, Bobby and Steve Dooley with us as we talk about the rights of legal immigrants to drive. And the feeling is all they need is, quite frankly, a ID, not a driver's license. Okay, Jamie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hello?
Jamie?
Yeah, my name is
okay.
How you doing?
Yeah, I just had a woman on the air by the name of Jamie.
Oh, okay. My name is Jesse. How you doing, Phil?
And she's your wife? Or is she your wife? Is she your wife? I guess he didn't hear me. Let's move on to another phone call. It should be fantastic. Here is Rob on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Rob.
Hi, Phil. Yes. I just want to say, first of all, I wasn't even sure if these people were real callers or some kind of a setup. Because
yeah.
I can't believe they're advocating something like this. I mean, the thing is, their opinion is that they're a bad
guy. Where do you live?
In California.
Well, I do, too, and I can't imagine. I don't know if you live in California, then you understand we have millions of legal immigrants here that need to get to work.
What's that got to do with that? What's that got to do with anything? They can take the test like the rest of us. I've been in countries like Vietnam, Turkey, Puerto Rico, and several other third world countries. If you think the U.S. has bad drivers, those countries make look like the Demolition Derby and bumper cars, lady.
I don't live in Turkey. I live in the United States.
The point is that your opinion about a few drivers is what you're
no, not a few.
for people who don't have any idea about the rules of the road in our country and just give them a driver's license just for the heck of it? Well, why not do this? Why not have their ID be equal to a doctorate in medicine and just make them doctors, too? Heck,
because it's not. Because it isn't. It is equal to driving, but it's not equal to a doctorate.
It's your idea.
It's equal to driving. It's equal to driving. It's not equal to brain surgery. If it was equal to brain surgery, I'd say, yeah.
Logic.
Unfortunately, do you have a driver's license?
Yes, you do.
I know you do, but that doesn't mean that you're capable of brain surgery. I would never let you do brain surgery. I'd have to kill you first if you attempted brain surgery. Do you understand what I just said?
If you tried to attempt brain surgery, Rob,
I'd have to drop you.
That's why I made the absurd point. If you tried brain surgery,
I'd drop you. So you didn't make a good point.
Well, wait. What do you mean you drop him? Tell you what, why don't you hang on. Rob, because we didn't give you enough time. Hang on. And we'll be back with Bobby and Steve Dooley, and we'll be back with this discussion of immigrant rights, immigrant labor rights. Should their ID suffice as a driver's license, since driver's licenses are held by Americans and we don't drive any better than Mexicans do? That's what Bobby and Steve Dooley are saying here. I have to tell you, the tone of that right there sounds racist. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
What?
Phil Henry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show, and our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking to Bobby and Steve Dooley here about actually something that occurred this week, which was that a domestic worker of theirs, a legal immigrant, was stopped because her sister was driving the car, and her sister was found not to have the driver's license. Neither woman had a driver's license. They had legal state IDs. And Bobby, you've heard, and Steve is there as well. I've heard you saying that your husband feels. You speaking for him?
I'm speaking for my husband, yes, but I do share his feelings on this. It was, after all, a function that was to be for Steve's co-workers and his employees. That was, we were not able to hold this event because my employee was not here. She had been forced to return to her residence because her sister was essentially arrested, and her sister had a legal ID that she obtained from the state of California, and that Veronica, who works for me, had also a legal ID that she obtained from the state of California. Both women are outstanding drivers. I have been with Veronica when we've driven to the store. She had.
So you've let her drive without a driver's license?
Excuse me, Phil. She has a legal ID. And.
You heard what she said, right?
That's not a legal driver's license. You guys have both admitted to that.
No, I know that, but I'm saying I have full confidence in her driving ability. I've seen her drive. And I would put her ability as a driver at or above any American that you or I could possibly mention. And you may think that this is egotistical of me, with the exception of me. I'm a very good driver. And my husband, Steve, is a very good driver.
Yeah, they're both very good drivers, Mr. Henry. I'd put them both that better than any American I've ever seen, except to me. And I do drive good. But that's just...
And my husband also feels that there's an awful lot of racism. Because I said that I want this to be a legal driver's license for Mexicans, Central Americans, and South Americans. And I mentioned Tierra del Fuego for a reason. There are a great many of the Indo, of the Indo-South American inhabitants there who are not only Hispanic, but they are of a Native or Indo-Native origin. And they're very good workers.
Well, I don't know how you ever figure out that they come from Tierra del Fuego. Is that Argentina?
That is Argentina. So
what about Argentina proper?
No, Argentina proper, but with particular regard paid to any of the Indo-South American Native or Indo-Native people from there, who we've got to get them IDs because as workers they're second to none.
All right. You've walked right into a buzzsaw here tonight, though, folks.
I know that was great.
All right. Well, you've walked right into a buzzsaw saying, well, they get to have the ID and they don't need a driver's license. Everybody else does. You realize that this is not something that the average American is even going to come close to approving. The country's on pins and needles. The country's on tenterhooks when it comes to immigration. And it's not a liberal conservative issue. Liberals and conservatives agree that something has to be done about it.
And something is being done about it. So we want to take good workers, people that are going to work and not sit around on a banjo, all right, and I'm sorry to say that, and give them the right to drive with a legal ID that is not a driver's license, but then again, neither is a driver's license that most of these banjo-playing Americans have because they cannot drive.
That's the whole point of it.
All right, our number is 877-876-7445 here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let me go to the gentleman that was hanging on very, very patiently, and then we'll get on to some other calls. Rob, go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Henry Show here, and we're back.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah, I'd just like to finish by saying, you know, I guess the gist of their point is that they don't feel that American drivers can drive that well. But, I mean, the point is that we do have to take a test to show a certain level of proficiency. We could probably debate whether that level should be raised or whatnot and whether or not we should have to have tests more often. But the point is that just wantonly awarding people who don't know the rules of the road and don't have not shown that level of proficiency to the state is absurd to the point of it being comical. I mean, the thing is, she said that she admitted that she allowed this person to drive. If I was in an accident and this person hit me, I would sue them one side and down the other.
Well, the state of California is going to cover that. That's part of the ID process.
I would sue you, where you use personally.
That, you
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't sue me personally. I wasn't driving the car.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sue me.
It's your car. Mm-hmm. It's your car.
Well, you're being childish now. You're being childish.
I'm acting like you are. And the anecdotal.
You're being childish because you're losing the argument, and you're being childish. And I find that really repulsive. I find it revolting.
You're trying to reward people who have not shown any level of proficiency. And your anecdotal example about sitting under a tree playing harmonica is such a blanket statement. That's racist beyond
belief. Excuse me, I've seen it.
You have one.
I have seen it with my own eyes.
So
Americans with their banjos.
Sits under a tree, every one of them, don't they? That's about as racist.
Let me tell you this much. I will tell you this. I feel much safer with Mexicans in the yard than I do Americans. I feel safer personally, and I also feel that the work's getting done.
In my yard.
And I feel safer personally, and also I would rather have a Mexican working than an American strumming his banjo, reading his email, or whatever they do.
I would too, but I would rather have somebody that works, whether they're Mexican or American. The point is, just because you want this to make it easier on your life, and
you're stuttering
this on everybody else, I'm sorry that the person got arrested. They were breaking the law. They should have gotten arrested.
You're stuttering. He's stuttering.
You're stuttering, Ms. Dooley, and thank you for your call, sir.
I can do it just as good as you.
You have been doing it. That's why I was talking.
I've listened to everything you've said, and you took great exception.
Every time I talk to you, you've been the one. Listen to the playback.
Okay, can I hear the playback, Mr. Hendry?
I don't want to do that right now.
Because I think he's lying.
Thank you very much, sir, for your call. Our number is 877-876-7445. He's not lying, Ms. Dooley. You've been going,
Well, I have not been doing it to distraction the way that man... I found it very interesting.
No, man, Mr. Renner, I don't interrupt, honey.
Go ahead.
That man was making comments about my wife going, on account of he was stuttering.
I don't stutter, you know.
But he's mumbling, muttering.
No, I thought that man made his points very, very well, and he's talking about insurance, which you guys haven't even addressed yet. 877-876-7445. Let's go over to... I got Jamie over here that we got to get to. Jamie, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello. I just wanted to make a couple comments, actually. I wanted to share an experience to give you a little food for thought. About 8 years ago, we were rear-ended by a drunk driver who was an illegal alien. We were the third family he'd hit in the last 8 years. And,
we're not talking about an illegal alien. We're talking about legal aliens.
Well?
We're talking about a legal alien, right? So, Mr. Henry, why did you allow this call on the air?
Because I let the lady, I want to hear her story.
Either way, this person came into the country to work or do whatever, but what he did on his free time was drink, and three families he nearly killed by driving.
What do you do on your free time? What do you do on your free time?
I take care of my children.
You drink?
And no, I don't. I take care of my children. Do you get drunk on your free time?
Darling, I have three sons, and I had time to relax. So what are you doing wrong?
All right, we're not going to be debating motherhood, okay? That's not going to happen.
Well, she's saying that if a man takes a drink, he's some sort of weirdo. I don't get it.
No, she's saying that a man took a drink. He got into a car.
And drove 160 miles an hour and catapulted me and my sons off the road.
That's very interesting.
You're saying you should give a driver's license to whomever, whenever, however.
No, I didn't say that. You know,
I
bet you that story, you've been just dying to go on a radio and tell, even though it has nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
I'm an American, and I was driving fine.
I'm not talking about illegal. Just because you're burning to get that story out because Larry King hung up on you.
Larry King ain't been on the air for a long time.
Whoever.
I don't even know who you're talking about. The point is
you're all jazzed about getting that story out there. It's got nothing to do with what I'm saying.
You're willing to give a driver's license to someone simply on the basis that they're Hispanic origin and they want to come to the U.S. and work here. And that
is they're legal. They're not illegal. And I'm not saying give them a driver's license. I'm saying people that come here legally get an ID. And let that be also their driver's license.
You're not.
And because you're so jazzed about
that, they know how to drive.
And you're all jazzed.
You're saying here's a picture, a photo of yourself. It says, this is your name. It says, that contains no information.
You don't have any proof that you can drive. Well, we don't have proof you can drive. All you do is send in your renewal.
Well, you can look at my record. I've never rear-ended people drunk. I've never got speeding tickets, and I take driving very seriously. I care for the welfare of other people.
Maybe.
And
I so I have to take your word for it? I have to take my words? No. You don't take a drive. You
do. Otherwise, they would take my driver's license away.
Wait a second. I have a driver's license, and I know all you have to do is send in a renewal. You don't have to take any tests. So I don't know who you think you're fooling here.
On your free time, I don't know. You're trying to get away from your kids. Don't take your driver's license.
You are saying that you know how to drive. We don't know what to do.
And then they'll put you in jail with your assistant.
How many people?
Oh,
really? Well, how many people have you killed? How many people have you killed?
Zero.
Okay, ladies. This is...
Yeah, well, I don't believe you. I think you've probably killed children.
Okay, that's enough.
Wow. Well, she's being vicious. Everybody should just be given a driver's license. I think it should be...
You know, I have a friend of mine who was rear-ended by an American who was playing a banjo.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
Just like the police officer stated earlier, it's not just a... It's a privilege, and you need to earn it, and it's not something that even an American can just get handed to them. They have to earn it. My son is looking forward to
driving. Oh, my God. I guess you don't drive much.
He's going to have to learn.
You don't drive much because I see people driving all the time, and they're out there with their...
Yeah, that's why we have police on the road. That's why we have police on the road.
Oh, I see. So now we have police.
And put them in jail.
But that doesn't mean they know how to drive, though. And so what I'm saying is we have Americans that don't drive well, and you're talking some rubbish about whoever rear-ended you. I don't care. And you're saying that I'm drunk. So, as far as I'm concerned, you rear-ended a car full of infants, and they went flying through the windshield.
Oh, God.
You're the most illogical person I've ever met in my life.
My God, you started out illogically. You were talking about illegal, and I wasn't.
You interrupted me so much and said, over me. You probably missed half of what I said. But what
were you talking about an illegal immigrant or not? You were talking illegal, and I was talking legal, so I'm logical.
You weren't even talking legal or illegal. You were saying, bring them all in and give them an ID.
I never said that. No.
License.
No. Now who's drinking? I never said that.
I was listening to you.
I'll bet you buy your Ripple by the case. Thank you, and good night.
Did she hang up?
Yeah.
Wow, she hung up. She hung up. All right, Jamie. You buy your Ripple by the case, and I don't know. Thank you
That's
for your
fine.
Call, though.
Yes, she told me. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jamie. 877-877, we got to wear.
Line 2.
Ms. Dooley.
I refuse to stay on the line. Is she gone?
Yes.
Okay. Then I'm back.
Well, what are we going to do now? Hang up on people you don't like?
I'm not going to talk to a woman who, for all I know, for her kicks, for her laughs, for the way she gets her thrills, she guns it right up to the rear bumper of a bus, scares the bus driver, the bus goes off the road, and guess what? Next thing you know, big yellow bus goes through the ice.
She hung up again.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Don't we have to take a break? We do. 877-876-7445, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Tonight we're talking about legal immigrants who are here, and that Bobby and Steve Dooley, who are frequent contributors to our program, are themselves employers of legally immigrated Hispanic people. You guys have talked about people from Mexico, Central America, and why specifically them?
Well, there's just a higher percentage of them.
Yeah, most people are going to work for us.
All right, and you're saying... and what they're essentially saying is they're advocating for a separate standard, if you will, that if they get their legal ID, then that qualifies as a driver's license. And with that ID, it's not only a driver's license. You said something else is a credit card?
No, not a credit card. It's a debit card.
Yeah.
A debit card.
Yeah, my husband believes that if they get the ID, it can work not only as their legal ID, it works also as their legal driver's license, but it also can be a debit card to be used at any California insured state bank where the such as the people who are employees of the state cash their checks. And
yeah, up to $100 cash withdrawal.
Up to $100 cash withdrawal. So it's an all-purpose ID. It's a driver's license, it's an ID, and it's a debit card.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let's go to a phone call here. We got Ricky on the line. Go ahead, Ricky. You're on with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Yeah, I didn't want to ask. She was talking about the medicine driving and all. Well, if that ID is the same as a driver's license, well, it's federal law, I guess. You got to have insurance and a tag, and you got to have a driver's license to get that. So what do you do about that?
Well, you don't have to have a driver's license to get a tag. Okay. Hello, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, we're getting interference.
You don't have to have a driver's license to get a tag for a car. Now, when it comes to insurance, as you put it, are you saying what? What are you saying? Hello?
I guess we lost Ricky. All right, 877, you want to go ahead and answer the question?
Well, I can't answer the question if he's not here. I do have a very good answer for the question, but I refuse to answer it unless he's here.
Well, what you don't want to answer the question. I mean, I'll put it to you again. I mean, if they have no drive, are they getting insurance?
I don't think I want people to get insurance.
Where do regular people get insurance? What my husband's asking.
At an insurance agency.
Yeah, so that's where they get it.
So that's where they're going to go get it, at an insurance agency. But I don't think that you need to have insurance to get a car tag. And we're not talking about owning a car. We're just talking about using the ID as a driver. Why are people trying to complicate this?
Well, I think, Mr. Renner, there's people trying to trip us up, you know, and asking these questions.
Well, they're trying to trip you up. They're asking you logical questions about just exactly what you need in the state of California to have what you got to have. Here is David. Go ahead, David. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I want to know how they're insuring their vehicles when they tell their insurance agent that they're letting somebody without a license drive them around. How do you have insurance for those people?
We're fully insured.
You are, but what about them? They don't have a driver's license. So
right.
How can you possibly have any insurance?
But they do have the ID. They do have the California state ID.
ID doesn't
and
make it insurable.
Are you a police officer?
No,
I can
I'm
hear
not.
Your radio.
I'm a commercial truck driver.
You're a commercial truck what? What did you say you were?
I said
you're a commercial truck driver.
Yes.
Okay.
How are you insuring
these
people?
Well, you know as well as I do that not everyone has insurance, but they have a ID, and if someone hits them, then that person pays for it.
Please answer my question. How are you insuring them to drive?
Well, you're not a cop.
What, are you a cop?
You're not a cop.
How are you insuring them?
I don't insure them, sir.
So
I don't even give them their ID. They go, I don't know. Maybe they do.
You're allowing them to drive your vehicle. You don't know if they have insurance or not?
I have insurance. Have you ever heard of something called Have you ever heard of something called third driver or other driver insurance, that kind of thing?
Yeah, but that's got to be with someone who's got a driver's license.
You don't have
not necessarily.
You don't have a driver's license, so you're not. They have no insurance.
Well, you didn't know that. Yeah, but you didn't know that until Mr. Hendry said that.
What?
He just waited for you to answer it.
All right. Well, we have to take a break. Thank you, sir, for your call. And I don't think
you
answered his question, which is what you know.
Well, he wasn't a truck driver. He sounded too educated.
Sounded like a cop.
Well, whatever. You didn't answer the question. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Back in a moment.
Phil Hendry. Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line with us here as we talk about the illegal, actually legal immigrants that come to this country who need IDs, and they get IDs. That should be a driver's license. We got this insurance question, you know, dangling out there, you guys. You know that?
Phil, I answered that question.
Yeah, we already answered that.
No, you didn't. You did not answer the question. These guys are out there. They do not have a legal driver's license. They have this ID. What about insurance?
We are, you know, people don't listen. We are asking that this become the law. And we want for those people to be able to buy insurance.
But you already said you let her drive your car.
Maybe.
Well, did you let her drive your car or not?
We're not going to answer that question, Mr. Ram, because you've been twisted around.
My husband thinks that the statement that I made has been twisted.
Well, I heard you say what you said, okay?
I don't think you did.
Yes, I did. 877. Yes, I did, ma'am. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over here to Don. Don, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello. I'd like to ask your guest if she's in favor of abolishing tests for drivers.
No, I'm not.
Well, that sounds like what you're advocating for these immigrants.
Oh, just for the immigrants. I guess you came late to the call, huh? Because what we're saying, the gentleman's name is Don?
Yeah.
Don, what we're saying is this. Mexicans, Central Americans, and South Americans, all they need is an ID, and that will pass for a driver's license. And the reason why we're saying that is that most Americans, even though they take a driver's test, are not very good drivers.
I can grant you that, but given that... Mm-hmm. Is there any proof with this ID card that any of these immigrants or anyone else has any ability to drive a car at all?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, but I think if they're driving the car, then I have another question.
Well,
if they're driving the car, how would you know whether they had a driver's license unless they were pulled over? And if they're pulled over,
all right. Whoa! Is this guy stupid or something? Hey, Don. Hold on. Now, you guys are not going to talk over each other, okay?
Well, I don't like being told, whoa, whoa, whoa.
I don't want people talking over each other.
I just have one other question.
Yeah, Don, you got to be quiet for a minute because I'm talking. And when I'm talking, everybody stops talking.
Okay.
And only Phil talks, okay? Now, Ms. Dooley, the gentleman was saying something, and you were blathering on and on and on. You answered the question, and the gentleman started to talk, and you kept going.
I simply said if someone's driving up...
You know, I'm just asking you just to be quiet so the guy can talk. Okay, Don, go ahead.
So given the fact that...
So he didn't want to answer the thing that I said.
Would you please be quiet? Go ahead.
Okay. Given the fact that the ID card does not establish any proof of any ability to operate a motor vehicle, does your guest think that the quality of the drivers on our roads will increase or decrease... given this lack of scrutiny?
It'll probably increase.
The quality will increase?
Yes.
I'd be interested to hear how that might be.
Well, because Mexicans, if they're in the car, I think it's pretty obvious they know how to drive one. That's the only way you're going to find out if they have a license. They only have the ID, and they can't get any worse than what we've got, so the odds are it's going to get better.
That's not an answer at all.
You know, Mr. Henry, I listened to you go, oh, 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 and I answered the question, sir. And
that's not, I'm just saying, it's not an answer.
Can I ask another question?
Beat up my wife.
Go ahead, Don.
We keep going back to the fact that there is no test for proficiency in operating a motor vehicle with this ID. None whatsoever. How does that increase the ability of drivers on the road?
Because the test for proficiency is not any good. You can see by the quality of the drivers that are out there.
So we should abolish all of them.
No, I didn't say that. I said Mexicans can only get it better if they don't take a test. Because the test for...
Now, the Mexicans don't take a test, got about to get better. On account of the test, but it's bad.
Exactly.
If there's no test, there can be no assessment of ability.
No, that's not true. That's not true at all. Because we have tests, and we give people driver's licenses, and they still drive. Well, you're laughing because you just lost the argument.
Hello? Anybody there? All right. Don, thank you. 877-877. Are you there, Ms. Dooley?
I put the phone down, yeah.
Well, you didn't win any argument, and he didn't lose any argument.
I said, Phil, that the Mexican...
Wait a minute, the Mexicans not take a test.
No, I listen to you guys. If they don't take a test, it can't get any worse. And the fact that the tests are, that exist don't test anything.
Well, Phil, the point is, look at the drivers we have out there.
I heard the drivers that we have out there stink.
I didn't say they stink. You know,
I mean, I'm out there. I have a driver's license. I'm good.
Yeah, me too.
But everybody else stinks.
Pretty much.
877-876-PHIL, the number here. Let's go over to Ronnie here. Ronnie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm just going to make a comment on, you know, whenever you're an American, you go get a job. On an application, it says no matter race, creed, color, whatever. So whoever's going to end up on the road in America is going to have to be qualified to follow American guidelines. I think the issue is about the assistance to the Mexican people to be more qualified to be on the level of the Americans, to not look so much at them being Mexicans, but the, you know, liability issues.
Well, there's that insurance question.
All right.
The insurance is if somebody wrecks my property, mm-hmm. I want to know that they can pay for it. That's the point. Mm-hmm. That's not even an argument. That's just a simple...
I agree. And the way that we propose that happen is that the state of California and the various states have a reservoir into which, okay, you're not going to like this, but taxpayers put a portion of their earnings, and that becomes what we would call a Mexican stopgap.
Yeah, it's like a Mexican standoff.
We nicknamed it a Mexican standoff.
And wait a minute. So you're saying that the public...
What's confusing people is you're so focused on putting the label Mexican out there whenever it should be, no matter race, creed, color, or what, you got guidelines on these highways that are going to be followed whether anybody likes it or not.
Well, that's not really what we want. What we want is a special class of ID for the Mexican, the Guatemalan,
and the
Chilean.
Now you're
going to
realm of discrimination.
No. This is a qualified worker that must. For instance, if I need her to go to the store. All right.
It's going to do something. Has to have a qualification.
Mm-hmm,
whether it's
mm-hmm.
Mexican, like you go back to the mm-hmm. job application, race, creed, color, mm-hmm. sex, what? If you're qualified, mm-hmm. you're qualified. No matter your color, no matter your age.
Well, no, but you see, there is a particular kind. Right, but we have a real need for these workers from Tierra del Fuego because of their ability. So if I can get them out on the highway.
If my son won't get a job, but there's a Mexican wanting to chuck some meat at the plant that he won't get a job at. So, I mean, you know, naturally, who wants to work? Hey, it's the survival of the fittest. If you don't work, you don't eat. You got to work for your bread and your meat. You know what I'm saying? You're talking about the Mexican like there's some kind of special need for assistance whenever all they got to do is cross border and get qualified.
You're working for your meat. I'm saying that I need the Mexican to get down to. For instance, if I need her to go down and pick up a leg of lamb, I need.
Right.
It may not be much to you, and it may not be a big job to you, but to me, that's a big job. So I need her to get in the car and go down there and get it.
You got to get it down, too.
You know, the insurance issue is that whenever she gets in that vehicle, if she crashes into somebody, is she going to be able to pay for it? It's simple.
Can she pay for it?
It's simple.
With the Mexican fund. With the Mexican fund, she can.
The Mexican fund. So this is a insurance fund that you are proposing, obviously, that taxpayers in America pay for.
Well, we're looking at it any way we
can. You know what it sounds like? What you need to be talking about is like something dual, like a dual passport, only a dual driver experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Something where you're qualified on both sides of the border. If she gets on an American highway and she crashes into an American, they're going to say, hey, I want to get paid. Are you going to be responsible for that? Is this your employee? How far does that go?
I just told you the Mexican fund. What am I saying that he's not getting?
Well, no, what do you mean?
So in other words, that I'm not getting is what you're so evasive and rude. Is this for entertainment? Because this is a serious issue.
I just answered your question, sir. I said that the woman is insured by way of the Mexican fund.
Okay.
Well,
yeah, if she crashes into American, they're going to pay the cost. That's simple. Yeah, I get that.
There. You see? What am I? I don't stutter.
Well, wait. This is taxpayer supported.
I'm not being rude. But I'm talking to you, sir, and you're going on and on about your. I said the I made the banjo playing American comment, and a lot of people don't like it. I know that you're all right with it.
All right, I'm going to let this gentleman go. Appreciate your call, sir. Thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. This idea of the Mexican fund, all of you guys, just like I said. They're at...
By the way, Phil, all of you guys, I don't like being lumped into a category with all you guys. This is an idea that we came up with. I'm not saying it's perfect, but, we have a need for this kind of worker. And if this is something we can do, fine. If it isn't, fine. But, if you want them to be insured... then you're going to have to pay for it.
No, look, I don't want them insured on those terms. You do. So you and Steve are proposing the Mexican Fund, or whatever you call it.
Look at the name, Mr. Get insurance.
Right, that every taxpayer's got to contribute to. Man, no way. And even if I agreed with you, I can predict it would never, ever, ever pass muster with the voters.
Well, then it would have to be an executive order.
You'd have a recall. You'd have a recall election or some kind of an impeachment for any elected official that decided to pass a law or executive order into existence a portion of the Treasury's assets to go into some kind of a quote unquote Mexican fund so that there is insurance for legal immigrants using only their ID card as a driver's license in case they get into an automobile accident. We are paying for that. That executive, whether he's a governor or a president, would be subject, I guarantee you, to a recall. That's how the voters would react to that. Wait, she's still talking? All right, well, let's take a break. 877-876-PHIL. What was that, man? I heard some kind of a...
sound like a spring came sprung.
A spring came sprung is right. We'll be right back here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445. The Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Next hour is our news and information hour, and we're not too far away from Saturday. Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line with us. This idea that you propose, Ms. Dooley, personally, I don't think it'll ever see the light of day. The fact that legal immigrants use a ID, and that's all they have to use. We have the insurance question. As a matter of fact, we have this gentleman on the line now, Andre, who just gave us a very interesting... basically, Andre, you were telling us that the driver's license is at least a common standard from which the court and the police can work when it comes to responsibility, correct?
That's correct. If a person goes through a driver's test, that person automatically acknowledges that they have accepted the responsibility in the event of a death or a maiming of a person, that is the standard of proficiency that the police... the judge, the prosecutor, the defense attorney, the victim, and the accused can work from. And we all acknowledge that in the case of somebody has to pay for the death or the standard that is set, and we all can work from that. I am an immigrant as well. So I know what I had to go through in order to...
Did you have a driver's license when you came here?
No, I had to go for it. And I'm 50 years old.
Well, see, that's what I feel... I don't think that's fair. I think you should have been able to use your ID.
No, it was me telling the American government, I have accepted the responsibility of your standard. So in the event of me killing somebody, I acknowledge that I have accepted the responsibility and I am being passed by your standards to operate a vehicle that can do 120 miles, that can do 120 mile an hour. Be I right in driving that fast? In the other
now, do you know that you sound like the perfect immigrant to our country? And this is what I'm talking about, Phil. Here's a gentleman who's an immigrant to our country. He's more conversant with the laws of our country than any American. I dare say he's probably a better driver. I dare say, Andre, you are probably more responsible. And this is what I'm saying.
Not at all.
I would give you the right to drive on our highways with just an ID. And the average American, I would force to literally go through submarine school to get a driver's license. That means a compression tank, fire in oil-laden water.
Oh, God. Go ahead. Let this gentleman talk.
May I ask
you know what I'm saying?
Do you have a child? Do you have children?
I have three.
I am a father. If somebody in this country or any country, even the country I came from, without having passed a proficiency test, killed one of my children, and I was sitting in court, I would have a problem and a huge lawsuit against that person. Now, having come into this country, you have to, in order to drive a vehicle, and I have a daughter that comes
into
this
country. I just think the kids take their chances,
I'm sorry?
The kids take their chances.
Well, I love my sons. I love them very much. But they live in America, and I tell them, we've got a great country, but you know what? You take your you-know-what's into your hands when you go out the front door.
Oh, come on. Even when they were little boys?
Yes. Even when they were children.
My point is,
that's what I told them.
The driver's license.
I told my son, I said, you take your nuts in your hands.
Will you let this gentleman finish? Go ahead, Andre.
My point is this. There is a standard in a court of law. This is a very... there's a lot of lawsuits that happen in this country.
Get some napkins. I want to get a Wendy's.
My point is, there's a lot of lawsuits, and you have to set a proficiency so that when all these parties enter into a court of law, we're all working from a base. Not from a base where somebody can fly out of the country. I also agree that you only can get a driver's license if you're a legal resident of this country, because in the event of you being sued, you are not a flight risk to pay for the medical cost.
All right, you said that already.
Give me some. Give me a Coke, too.
Andre, thank you very much. You've been very kind, because the two of them have been ordering at a Wendy's.
No, I have not. No, I have not.
While this gentleman has patiently explained to you, I've been listening to you ordering Cokes, coffee, and everything else at Wendy's.
I'm not at Wendy's, Mr. Henry, if that matters.
Well, what difference does it make? Jack in the Box, whatever. Andre, thank you, sir, and that was very, very good.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your phone call.
Andre, I was listening to you, but I had to get some coffee.
All right.
Not because,
I understand.
Can I get one of the square hamburgers?
All right, Andre, you're a good man, sir, and the very best to you this evening and to your family. That was very, very rude.
Phil, you know, you're very melodramatic. A lot of the things hey, we're doing good. Yeah, could I get a bowl of chili?
Stop, man, to get the best chili going.
What are you? Now what are we doing? Are we doing a commercial for Wendy's here or what?
Phil, I am starving. We've been out all day. Okay, is that all right with you? Or am I supposed to sit here and go through low blood sugar withdrawals and possibly faint?
My wife needs to eat us something.
My wife needs to eat us something? Look at this. Steve's got Italian.
All right. Yeah? Hey, there.
Yeah, can you get the square hamburger, I said?
What is it? We want the square hamburger.
If you're not at Wendy's...
Holy Jesus, we're not at Wendy's.
Well, what the hell, Steve? We better go find another drive-thru.
How you doing?
No, we don't want anything. No, we don't want to order from your hole.
I don't want to order from you, man. You ain't got the square hamburger.
Phil, did I ever tell you this?
Will you get out of here, both of you? All right. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, can I get a bowl of chili? Anyway... it's very nice to have the Dooleys with us, and we do certainly appreciate their contributing to the radio show. But when they come on here and say, hey, only an ID for illegal immigrants, and oh, yeah, where do I get the square hamburger? You know, I'll tell you, square hamburger sounds about right. By the way, I've got a great story to tell you about the square Wendy's hamburger and how long it took them, to build a Wendy's in the U.S. Virgin Islands. That and more coming back here at our News and Information Hour on the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876. Phil, don't go away.
How you doing?
Good. Thank you. Yeah, square hamburger.
Phil Henry.
All right.